What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Ahoy! Welcome in on a very cold and blustery, although dare I say gorgeous, sunny Wednesday afternoon. It is primetime. No Rop. He is in the All-American City of Salina, Kansas. I am filling in for Isaac Rop. Andrew Nemec filling in for me, and Ryan Buckley, the Rock of Gibraltar, sitting over there as usual. Gentlemen, welcome in.
How's it going, man?
It's going. It's cold. We're all in beanies.
Cold.
It is cold.
I don't mind the cold, but it's alarmingly cold. Like, I always judge the cold based on the morning dog walk. And I even waited. I'm like, hey, we're going to wait a little bit. We're going to wait till like 9. We're going to wait for the sun to come out a little bit, get some sunshine in. And I bundled up. I did the full on thermal sweatshirt, down vest, stocking cap, didn't matter.
And with me, I, like you, I usually gauge it that way, but it looked so nice outside. I just did like sweatpants and like a hoodie.
Terrible idea.
And I was halfway down the block. I'm like, oh God, I should have worn another layer.
It is not rare here that you got to bring out your snowboarding and ski stuff to walk the dock. Yeah. And if you have to do that, we're dealing with some rarefied air.
Yeah, it's cold. The dog's water bowl just frozen solid outside. It was just one of those, except I can't get the damn dog to come inside now. It's driving me crazy. All he wants to do is be outside. So at night we have a sliding patio at the bedroom, and I normally just leave it open for him because he likes to sleep outside. But the moment you shut the door, he freaks out. He wants to be able to kind of come in and out.
Yeah, so pick and choose.
Most of the time we just leave the door open for him a crack, and he can kind of shove his way through. But the damn dog refuses to come inside now. And so, but the moment I shut the door, then he just sits there and paws at the door. So then I open it, let him back in. Like 2 minutes later, he's pawing at the door to go back out. It's driving me nuts. I can't get him to come inside.
We have a different issue with the dog. Our dog is not allowed people food
and
thinks that the frozen ice in his bowl is a treat.
Yeah.
And he is a little territorial about food, not to the point of biting, but just very careful about his food. So he's taking pieces of ice, and then he gets the zoomies, and he runs to different parts of the house, kind of hunkers down somewhere, quickly eats the ice, sprints back outside, gets another chunk of ice, rinse, repeat, thinking he's getting some sort of people food, and it's frozen water, buddy.
Yeah. Well, hey, sometimes the ice is, my dog, you can fool him with a treat. You can give him an ice cube, he'll crunch on it. But when my bulldog who passed away, this is the time of year where he wouldn't go outside to go in the bathroom. Like, he would fake go to the bathroom because he wouldn't want to go outside when it was cold or really rainy. So you would open the door, he would go outside, turn the corner, and immediately come back and then go up on the landing and take a dump.
Oh, no.
Like, he was in a, it was a constant battle. So now I've got the opposite. So now I've got a dog that refuses to come inside when it's cold, as opposed to the bulldog that was just, he would take one look outside and be like, yeah, no.
That's way better.
Like, it's way better.
The dog that's having some sort of battle with Mother Nature, yeah, where it's like, I will win. I refuse to go in the go outside, yeah, with you around, Mother, yeah, Nature being, yeah, so frosty and cold and, yeah, frigid. I'll show you. I'm pooping on the landing. Yeah, no, that's not
you always
the
knew it was cold when Crumb was my bulldog. You always knew that it was cold when the dump started showing up on the landing.
And he was no longer potty trained.
And
that's how cold.
And he would fake. It wasn't like he was a puppy. He was his whole life, and he would fake poop.
Yeah, that's
he would I mean. Literally go outside, and you would watch him. You're like, no, buddy. And so he figured out that if he went the long way, turned the corner, but then he'd immediately come back, and we'd be like, yeah, that's not long enough. So then he would go back, hover for like 15 seconds, so you could go inside and watch him out the window and see him just stand there. And, like, wait. He was smart enough to know, all right, I got to wait some time, and then I'll come back inside. 2 minutes later, you're walking up the steps, and it was right on the landing. There it was. Little turd nugget right there. You're like, you son of a gun.
Going around the corner.
Going around the corner.
You can't see me.
Nah, he pulled a John Cena on me. Yeah, yeah. Sneak around. I missed that. I missed that little guy. It's the first time in my life I've only had the one dog. I've always been a multi-dog family, and this is the first time. He passed away, like, it's like a year and a half ago. This is the only time I've ever had the one dog.
We have a German Shepherd Lab mix named Gobi. Our daughter named our dog.
Yeah.
Wife wanted a little tiny dog, and I was like, big dogs are so much cooler. They're so much cooler. And she does not let me forget it. So any little thing, like, yeah, dogs do little stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they chew something they shouldn't, or, yeah, and I'm not saying they go to the bathroom in the house. I mean, little stuff, like bringing the ice in and some of it melts on the carpet.
It's a dog.
And she's like,
things happen.
Your dog is so annoying. And it's like, it's always going to be my dog. Unfortunately, we were playing chase around the house last night with my daughter. My daughter's six. And dog jumped up on the bed and got her with his paw. She has a 3-inch cut under her eye. And
it's your dog that did it.
And it's my dog.
It's your dog.
And at PE yesterday, she had a loose tooth, and they were playing scooters, and she fell and hit the front of her face.
Oh.
And it knocked a tooth out. And
so
she
now
had a fat
you're an abuser.
So she's got a scratch under her eye. She's got a fat lip and a tooth missing.
Look at you, just being an abuser.
I'm here. So I sent her. Grandma picked her up today.
I'm waiting for CPS to show up.
Exactly. Grandma picked her up. I'm like, you know what? You look bad. I'm dropping you off from the parent drop-off line today. I'm not going in. She's in kindergarten. Yeah. And then we'll have grandma pick you up. I'm going to do radio with Sook. Sorry, I can't claim you when you look
I'm placing
like
an anonymous call.
Don't.
Just waiting for that CPS with that jacket, that FBI windbreaker to knock on the door, Mr. Nemec.
My wife tried to tease her and be like, did daddy do that to you? And she's like, no, no, the dog. No, she's like adamant because she doesn't want anybody to think. But she's almost too adamant.
Yeah.
Where it was like, were you coached? Were you coached? I swear it wasn't my dad. Don't beat me.
Well, I joke all the time because between jiu-jitsu and the boxing stuff, I'll be like, I'll come in with a black eye, or one time I had a broken nose. And
yeah,
I love to joke that the BTJ, the big time Japanese at my house, she gets a little handsy. The Asians are a feisty.
Of course.
They're a feisty bunch.
Of course.
And you put a couple of cocktails and the face gets bright red and those fists start flying. So I love to give her crap that if I get a black eye or like when I broke my nose and everyone asks me like how I did it, I always get real quiet. I'm like, I'm not supposed to talk about it. I made some mistakes. And she gets so angry at me because I love to
play. She doesn't like DA jokes?
She does not. Well, and then
I'm shocked.
The worst one that I ever had, and this is a hand to God honest story, I was equal parts infuriated and like embarrassed. And it was so my late wife had autoimmune disorders. She had lupus, and obviously it was not a good thing. So when you battle autoimmune disorders, a lot of times your body starts attacking yourself, but you don't really know what's going on. You just have symptoms, but you don't really know what's the cause of it. So this was like early on in the process where we're trying to figure all this stuff out. And so she's having these horrible pains, and she's like got some skin problems and some bruising popped up, and she had some hair. It was really bad. So we go to the ER. It's like the middle of the night, and she's just in like horrid pain. And this is, 15 years ago. So I was like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. She's just sobbing. She goes, I need something. Something's really wrong. So we're like, okay. So I take her to the ER. So we go in there and they're running all these tests and they're like, nothing's wrong. And I'm like, what? Something is wrong. Yeah. So we're sitting there and I'm like, please, like help us. And this was like early on where no one's really sure what's going on. Later on, we got some other diagnosis. Go in there and where I'm begging these doctors to help out. So granted, picture like what you look like at 2:30 in the morning, right? I'm wearing like basketball shorts.
You mean what you look like.
Yeah.
Because you give a different vibe than
different
I do.
Vibe.
As a 5'8 guy, people are like, eh, he probably can't do too much damage.
So wife, 5 foot, 95 pound Korean. And then me.
Yeah.
Bigger than I am now.
And she's in pain, and you're like, something.
She's in pain, and so we're like begging. So they're like, all right. So they're like, we'll admit her, we'll run a bunch of tests. So we spend the night at the hospital, and the next morning the doctor comes around on the rounds. And the doctor comes through and is like, all your tests are normal. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, and they're like, well, we're gonna send you home. And I'm like, please don't send us home. Like we're desperate to try to find an answer. And he goes, there's nothing wrong. And I looked at him. I said, how do you explain like the chunks of hair? How do you explain the bruises?
Right.
How do you explain like the lesions? And he looks right at me and goes, I think you know.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Whoa.
And I was like, ow. Whoa.
You got profiled.
Whoa. Shots fired.
That there's a lawsuit.
Across the bow.
Yeah, wow.
I was like, oh,
I think you know.
My goodness. Yeah, I was like, and there was part of me that was like so angry, and there was part of me that wanted to laugh and be like, oh my God, did that just happen? And so we end up leaving the hospital or whatever. You know, you get a chart and all that, and well, I've got a friend of mine that's a doctor that has access to medical records. It is in the chart. At one point, it was in the chart of suspect. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird.
It's weird. And, you know, all these years later, I've learned to kind of laugh it off now. And, you know, it's like
one
of those things.
It make you really angry in the moment.
At the time, it was really bad.
Oh, that's
but,
horrible.
Like, at the same time, like, we both came to laugh about it.
Right.
Because when you're battling all those conditions, it really can be, like, there's nothing you can do but laugh. Because you just go in and you run all these tests and everyone tells you that nothing's wrong.
Right.
Well, clearly something's wrong. But when in the early on, we had to deal with that so many times about people telling us you're faking or there's nothing wrong or people would accuse her of faking. But yes, I have officially, by a doctor at the hospital, I will never forget just this
Yikes.
Smug look where he's like, I think you know why.
That's horrible.
I know, right? But again, it's like you learn to laugh at the tragedy of life. Otherwise, it just ends up driving you crazy. Because what are you going to do, right? No, you can't go around. You can't go. And that's the thing, like in my head, right? Like when that happened, like you see red. Like you're very angry.
Yeah.
And I will say that at least in that moment, I had a thought of, you know what would be the worst thing right now for me to confirm anyone's suspicion? For me to punch a doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, here's a pretty sure what's going on
I'm
here.
I'm not a violent person.
Yeah.
I'll like, show you.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? I have no violence as I'm raining blows down upon the doctor. I don't think that would have done well for my...
It is a catch 22.
It is a catch 22.
Once you're accused, the doctor can kind of say whatever.
Yeah.
And you're stuck, because if you react in any real violent or aggressive way...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, confirmed.
Yeah. Well, and it was hilarious. So, like this was a thing. So, we actually had a buddy of mine and his wife who had started to kind of get to know us around that time, and we ended up becoming really good friends. And a couple years down the road, we were talking, she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, when I first met you guys, she's like... I thought I knew what was up. I'm like, what? She
Jeez.
Goes, yeah. She's like, I had my suspicion.
You give off woman beater vibes?
Apparently.
That's terrible.
I guess if you've got this tiny woman that has health problems that no one can really explain.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
and it's not like
yeah.
we talked about it a bunch. We just knew that there was always those things. And then you look at me and people were like, well, what's going on? And no one knew. She'd be like, yeah, I had some suspicions. Yeah. Well, like you right now. I'm just saying, a lot of suspicions over there. Now, you're coming up with some convenient stories about
convenient
about you know scraped eyes and random bruising going on, teeth coming out.
She ripped her first tooth out. She's like one of those kids that just doesn't deal like just doesn't care too much about pain.
Yeah.
So she wanted the money. So she went in the bathroom sink and said, "I have a loose tooth." And then she was in the bathroom like just too long. You know, when a kid's in the bathroom too long, you know something's going on. No.
Kid's in the bathroom more than like 3-4 minutes, something's up.
So I knock
it's time
on the,
to go check.
I knock on the door and she's like, I'm in here. And it's like, yeah. And the door's locked. It's like, the door is not supposed to be locked when you're six because I need to be able to get in there in case something's going
on. You don't need privacy at six.
And I open the door and there's just blood in the sink. And she's holding her tooth. And it's one of her two front teeth.
Yeah.
So we end up, she has a dentist appointment like a couple weeks later. And the doctor said, that tooth's going to grow in crooked and wrong. Because normally, kind of just the fact that a tooth is there, it forces it to push straight down to take that tooth out. And then your teeth grow in relatively straight.
Yeah.
She ripped that tooth out. So that tooth that's coming in can come in
your kid's a savage.
Any way it wants to.
I love it.
So it is. It is crooked as all get out. She's going to need braces because she ripped her one of her front teeth out for the money. And she first thing she said is, you think I'm going to get $20? It's like, no, well, you might get fined.
I'd say she give her 20. Otherwise, anonymous phone calls will be placed.
Yeah, well, that's what
I don't like the way this is going. All right, we come back. We got some NFL stuff to get into. We've got a little NBA news and notes. Kevin Durant, the Blazers play tonight. We're at that time of the year where we're kind of in a, I mean, today's the last day of the NBA before the All-Star break. There's no hockey going on. Spring training starts. Mariners down in Peoria. But yeah, we're in the, or maybe
stop
it's surprise.
It. We are not ready to talk. We're not even 54%. Close to talking
baseball. I did see they're talking about having Shohei pitch again. So.
Yeah. How about this? How about we, because I actually went back and I ended up, this is a football nerd thing, and we both are giant football nerds.
Yes.
I actually went back and rewatched the Super Bowl, the All 22 copy of it, and the Chiefs are going, this is going to haunt the Kansas City Chiefs. It's funny sometimes when you watch a game and it seems like a complete blowout, and then when you actually go back and watch the film, you're like, it didn't have to be this way. Yeah. So maybe we'll play a fun little segment when we come back. It didn't have to be this way. Some Super Bowl ruminations with a Sukanemic edition of Primetime right here on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back in. Talking a little Super Bowl here. So I have the NFL pass, which I'm telling you, for the bang for your buck, it's the best. If you're a football nerd, you should have it. It's like for all in, if you want, it's less than $15 a month and you get, you know, after the games are all over, right? It's not like you can watch them while they're going on. But after the game's over, you can get the All 22. You can get the coach's film on it. You can jump ahead to whatever you want. It's the best way to rewatch.
For $15 a month?
Yeah, dude. It's by far, if you're a football nerd, it's by far the best thing you can do.
Add that to the league pass for next season.
Yeah. So if you want to watch the games live, obviously that doesn't cover it. But, and there's different options. You get one as low as like $10 a month, and then the premium one's like $15-16.
And for the All 22.
Yeah, for the All 22.
I'm in trouble.
So it's like the best way to do it. So
it's going to be bad.
Well, I went back and like, I'm still, one, there's nothing else going on right now in the world of sports. No offense to the Portland Trailblazers, but my God. Like, the last, I mean, that 10-game stretch was fun. But, you know, Jeremy
costly.
Grant, yeah, it was costly. Like, I think the tank is officially over, although maybe now you're trying to put the tank back on, but it might be too little too late. But now you're seeing,
definitely is.
Yeah, Ayton's done for the year, right? I mean, who knows how much Robert Williams is going to play. Jeremy Grant scoots out for an extended period of time. We're about to go see another, I would assume, nice losing streak here, but again, it's too late to end up, I think, with a top five, top six worst record. So there's just not a lot going on. And so for me, I'll go back and watch the Super Bowl because I just think it's fascinating as I've listened over the last couple of days, kind of the narrative that's changed, because we had this idea going into this that the Kansas City Chiefs were this unstoppable force, right? And if you've watched the NFL closely, you realize this last two run for the Kansas City, it's not this unstoppable force. It's a team that wins in the margins that doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
And they find ways to win close games. And most of them are one possession games. And then that happens and you just get housed in the Super Bowl. And now there's this like, oh my God, is Mahomes' legacy dead? Is this a stain on Andy Reid? Does Kansas City have to make a big swing? And all of a sudden, Philadelphia now is the team where we're like, how does anyone beat Philadelphia?
Right.
And we don't realize that two games ago, if they just blocked Jalen Carter, the Los Angeles Rams are beating the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, and the Eagles last season ended the season after they played the Niners. They lost, what, 6-7 in a row?
Yes.
And everybody went, oh, they're broken.
Exactly.
And we should fire Sirianni.
And now here we are. Right. So often in the NFL, much like I said, the Kansas City Chiefs win in the margins. seasons and teams are built in the margins, and we want to make so much out of it. So I actually went back, because when you're watching the Super Bowl, you're watching on your couch, and, you know, I got my 7-layer dip going on, and look, I, you know, I'm a couple banquets in at this point. It's like I got my little notepad out, and I'm trying to take notes, but you're not really, really watching. But when you go back and watch that Super Bowl, when you watch the All-22, it's even more puzzling how it went down than when you were watching it live. Yeah. This will go back, and when they went, and I'm sure Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have already watched this 30 times. This game will haunt the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because at first, obviously, when you're able to dominate with a four-man rush and your offense gets one first down in its first 11 drives, you would think, all right, there's nothing we can do. But when you go back and watch that, that was not the case. There were plays to be made, and that game did not have to go that way for Kansas City. That was as good as Philadelphia could possibly play, as bad as Kansas City could possibly play. And going back and looking at that, the game plan from Kansas City, I think, is the one where they're going to look at this and be like, what were we possibly thinking?
I said that in the moment. One, I heavily bet the Eagles.
Yeah.
You were an Eagles guy. I felt their front seven was going to dominate that football game, especially moving Tooney out to left tackle. I just didn't think he could handle it. But the other issue here, they ran the ball three times in the first half. So if you're Andy Reid, and this is where Andy Reid is one of the greatest five football coaches in the modern era, maybe ever. Yeah. He's unbelievable. So take this with a couple grains of salt. The biggest thing coming into this game that you have to worry about if you're Andy Reid is, okay, we're banged up front. Mm-hmm. We haven't been great along the O-line all year. We're kind of putting it together with scotch tape. They're dominant there. We need to do some things so they're not just coming downhill. And then in the first half, they ran the ball three times. And other than that, every other play was Mahomes in the shotgun. Every other play except three was Mahomes in the shotgun. And he dropped back to pass.
And you know,
and there were some RPOs where they could have run and they didn't. But and so it's not just pure dropbacks. But if you're afraid and you're game planning for the Eagles, the one thing you say going in is we've got to make that D-line think or hesitate or stay in their lanes, because if we don't and they're coming downhill every play, we're screwed. And then every play call but three in the first half leaned exactly into what the Eagles are going, really? This is all you're going to make us look at? You're just going to drop back? Okay, we're going to dominate you then.
And the only time that they had any sort of success in the dropback game is when they kept a sixth man in to block.
Well, and that's the other piece.
And it's fascinating as I went back and I you know, you can, and when you do the advanced analytics, you can find out, you know, what formation they were in and how many times. So throughout the first 11 drives, which are the only drives that matter, I don't count the last three drives that Kansas City had because it was against Philadelphia's backups and no one cared.
You mean when they threw a goal ball to Xavier Worthy that they haven't thrown all season successfully?
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, the first 11 drives are the only thing that matters in that. And in those 11 drives, six times, they kept an extra guy into block. Guess which were their six best plays of those 11 drives? When they kept an extra guy in to block.
I know. It's insane. Like
When you go back and watch this, Kansas City is going to sit there. I think they outthought themselves.
They did.
I really thought that Kansas City looked at Vic Fangio's defense, and not to get like super technical, but Vic Fangio basically plays two coverages. He plays cover four and he plays cover six, quarters coverage.
Yeah.
It is what they do. They don't do a lot of fancy stuff. This isn't a lot of zone blitzing scheme. This is what Vic Fangio does. His whole defense is, we're going to do one thing and we're going to do it really well, and we're going to force you to beat it. And Kansas City literally went into that game, I'm convinced of it, that they thought that Vic Fangio was going to try to throw different exotic things at him. And you would think somewhere along the line in that first half, Kansas City would have sat down and been like, guys, they're doing exactly what they've done all
year
long.
What they always do.
We don't need to make any adjustments here. And the whole thing that Vic Fangio's defense do is force you to live in the underneath stuff, forces you to live in the short yardage. Guess who's the best underneath passing short yardage team in the NFL? The Kansas City Chiefs. It should have been playing into their strength, and it wasn't. I think their game plan, I really do think that Kansas City and Andy Reid, I think they failed Patrick Mahomes in the offense. I think it was one of those where you really think that Philadelphia is going to try to cook up something special for you. And when it ended up being the bland vanilla thing that they've always done, I think it took Kansas City too long to try to make any adjustment to it. I think they outthought the room.
Well, I think I texted you the night of the Super Bowl that the play calling in the first half from the Chiefs was shocking.
It's atrocious.
That it was like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And you talked about this off the air a little bit with me that underneath stuff, that's been Mahomes and Kelsey's bread and butter. And that brings up another point that you had watching the All-22, I know, about a player who just flat out didn't show up and almost looked like he wasn't given a full effort.
And this is the other one, when I went back and watched it, the thing that jumped out, besides the game planning and the production stuff, which I will never understand why really smart football players do this, or football coaches. Because I'm not trying to say that I'm Andy Reid, but I battled this when I was a player. I remember we were playing Syracuse once, and we had Dwight Freeney that we were playing against.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good. And we refused. Norm Chow refused. He didn't like to keep backs in or tight ends in chip.
Yep.
Wasn't part of his thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And his thing was, that's not what we do. And I remember getting into a screaming match with him on the sideline, being like, this isn't what we do, but what we're going to do is give up a sack to him every single time. So I started sliding the line, no matter what, to Dwight Freeney, and I was getting screamed at. And I was like, what do you want? Every time we don't slide, guess what? That guy gets a sack. But there's this mentality of, this isn't what we do.
Right.
And so the idea that you're only rushing four, therefore we don't need to keep an extra guy in. Because the idea is, I think Kansas City was like, well, we have 5-0 linemen, they're only rushing four, we don't need to keep anyone in. Yes, you do.
Clearly,
if our five can't block their four, you better keep an extra guy in.
Yeah.
Even if it goes against your, quote, rules. The stubbornness of Kansas City in that game will haunt them forever. And the other one that jumps out, and we'll talk about this, because he came out and said that this player said he needs to take a moment and needs to reconsider what he wants to do. And I think Kansas City and everyone at the end of the season takes a pause, takes a beat, and says, where do we need to go to get better? The worst player, and we'll talk about this when we come back, I know we're up against it, the worst player on the field from me watching that game, and both sides of the ball, both teams, and I can say this without hesitation, the worst player in that Super Bowl was Travis Kelce. And when you ask what the difference was between this Kansas City offense that has feasted for years in the middle of the field and has feasted in short yardage things, in big games, what has it been? Travis Kelce. We've always said that Kansas City has not been the best team. They've had the best coach. They have the best defense coordinator, they have the best quarterback, and they have the one guy that in big games cannot be guarded. And I think Andy Reid and his scheme completely let them down.
Yes.
I think Spags actually called a really good game at the beginning. I don't put that on Spags. Mahomes got rattled, and one of the reasons he got rattled, I think, was scheme, and that his most reliable player that he's had for years and years absolutely laid a egg, and that was Travis Kelce. You cannot have a pillar of your success play the way he did. And the shocking part, when you watch it, it looked like he didn't want to be there. I don't know what that was, but when you go back and watch that, and I know there's probably clips floating around, the effort that he put forth, they should have benched his ass in the middle of the first quarter and put in Noah Gray.
Breaking news, according to Souk, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce on the rocks.
Dude, I don't know what, maybe he was thinking about proposing or whatever, but he sure as hell wasn't thinking about playing. That was the worst game that he has ever played. And if you're Kansas City, I think you have a tough choice to make in this offseason. We'll talk about that here, though. Buck with SportsCenter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, Andrew Nemec, Jason Sukanik, Ryan Buckley. We got your Rop back on Tuesday. He's in the All-American city of Slana, Kansas, taking care of the olds. We're talking a little, like, kind of Super Bowl wrap-up. And I was kind of talking about how I went back and watched the All-22, and without a doubt, it was shocking. And I know Travis Kelce didn't do anything in the game. We look at his stat line. But to actually go back, and when you're able to, that's the good part about watching the All-22. So when you're watching the broadcast, it's hard to focus in on an individual player. But they say, and you're a film guy, when you do an evaluation, the big eye in the sky don't lie.
Yep.
You can't hide from it. Every player knows that when you didn't play a good game, you're dreading film because you're...
Sometimes you look like you just don't even, it's like, God, do you even know how to play football in that moment? And you're like, I saw this out of the corner of my eye and I thought this. And
there is nothing.
Sometimes you look bad.
There is nothing worse than when the coach looks at you watching film and says,
what the hell
were you thinking? And you don't have an answer. Because even as you're watching film, you're like, I don't know. They're like, why didn't you go there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Why did you let that guy run by you? I don't know.
Yeah.
The Eagles had the Jalen Hurts interception at the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. That was another blown coverage. Is the center and the right guard, Becton and Juergen for Philadelphia. Okay. They're going to have one of those. They just let.
Is that Bolton?
Yeah. They just let him run through clean.
Yeah.
And there was no other threat. They're going to watch the film, and Philadelphia is going to be like, what the hell was that? And both those guys are going to be like, I don't know. Yeah. I thought. What were you thinking there? What were you looking? Because I went back and watched that play. And here's the other one, too. When Jalen Hurts was pressured, he was not very good, which has been the trend all year.
What?
He's the worst starting quarterback in the league when pressured. He was bad in this game when pressured. They just never pressured him.
I think now is not the time to have this take, but the Jalen Hurts is overrated take exists, certainly.
But watching the Travis Kelce film, he was so bad. And it's hard to watch someone who is arguably a top three tight end of all time. Yep. I'm a Gronk guy. Maybe you're a Tony Gonzalez guy. Maybe you're an Antonio Gates guy. I like true dual threat tight ends. And when he was healthy, to me, there was no better dual threat tight end that I've ever seen than Gronk.
But, Gronk and Kittle, to me, because of their blocking ability, are on a different level in the last
But Kelce is a first ballot Hall of Famer. But to watch him play, it's hard to believe that what I saw was just skill deterioration because there was no effort. He was laid off the ball. I'll bet you on 75% of the snaps when he was out there, he was the last guy off the ball.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because in the Super Bowl, it's not a crowd noise thing. This guy certainly shouldn't be overwhelmed by big games. The amount of times he was laid off the ball and the lack of not just pass blocking, when they did attempt to run, which wasn't very often, some of the most putrid effort. Yeah. And I can handle you getting beat in a run game, but when your effort isn't there, it's alarming. And then the other one is Mahomes was running for his life. And whenever Mahomes scrambles around, who is the safety blanket? Who always finds a way to get open? Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and he has like a sixth sense. He's so good at it.
There are plays where Mahomes is running for his life and Travis Kelce is 6 or 7 yards downfield standing still, watching him run around while Zach Bond is up in his jock. It is alarming. There's a great clip going around, and you can watch it. It's even worse when you watch the All-22. It's the one where as they're running, Mahomes kind of fumbles the ball and ends up getting it back because he's running around. Eventually, gets it in, and they fall on it. Travis Kelce stands there and watches him, runs around, watches the fumble happen, and then stares at everyone jumping on the pile. He doesn't move. That play, the scramble and the fumble last about 7 seconds. Travis Kelce does not move from his spot.
On a football field. Yeah, it's weird.
That's an all-timer.
Yeah, it's bad.
And then it's weird to hear him. So this is Travis Kelce on his podcast about his future. And you know, because there is the idea of, is he a little long in the tooth? What does Kansas City needs to do? Because he carries like a $17 million cap hit next year.
Yep.
As you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man. Those are all extremely hard things to, it's just a tough reality. And, you know, I think, I'm going to take some time to figure it out. And, I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that, it's a wholehearted decision. I'm not half-assing it. And I'm fully here for them. And, I think I could play. It's just, whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me, as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
Now there's another clip and he says that he let his teammates down. He wasn't a very good leader. Looking back, there's plays he'd like back or there's time he'd like back. I don't know what that is, but people forget that Travis Kelce early in his career was a guy who was considered a hothead. Andy Reid, in part, took a chance on him because he knew Jason Kelce from Philly, and he vouched for him and was like, if he figures it out. And Kelce, I think, got thrown out of a game at one point for picking up a flag and throwing it at an official. And Jason Kelce was interviewed about his brother post-game, and they talked about his antics. And he said, he's his own worst enemy. If he figures it out, he could be great. Now, this was before he ever was great. But he's kind of, you know, he needs to mature. And we forget that now because of the success and Taylor Swift. And now he seems so much more packaged. That was kind of old Travis Kelce early in his career. Immense potential. And just like, oh, this is going to be hard, tough sledding tonight. I don't know if I got it in me.
It's just, it's alarming.
It was weird.
It's alarming to see a great player. And look, and maybe it's just he's 36 years old and it's been a long year.
Nah, but I mean, there's more to it than if you stand when your quarterback is in panic mode and you're option one in that panic mode your whole career, and you stand for a 7 count and just stand on a football field and watch, that's an effort thing. Going through it thing.
I would love to know what, and again, maybe we'll never get a real answer to this, but I often wonder when you sit down and you look at these things that don't make sense, right? Think back to the Ravens game plan 2 years ago in the AFC title game when they refused to run the ball.
Yeah, that was weird too.
The Todd Monken,
It was the same kind of thing
I just, I want to sit down with someone and be like, can you explain that? Andy Reid, I would love to sit down with Andy Reid and be like, can you explain to me what the game plan was? And you'll never get a real answer to that, but I would love to know what was going through Travis Kelce's mind in the midst of that Super Bowl, because it couldn't have been that the moment was too big.
No.
It couldn't have been, I mean, what? It's just I'm hard pressed. That is one of the best big game players in NFL history at his position and didn't just lay an egg, because I can handle a bad game, but when the effort and even poor execution, but when the effort and it just looks like you're sleepwalking through the Super Bowl, which could be your chance to go out on top, maybe you walk away on a high note, something that no one's ever done three in a row, I struggle with that one.
You talk about coaching, and you wish you could ask Todd Monken about his game with the Ravens a couple years ago, Andy Reid with this Super Bowl. Locally, there's a part of me that wants to sit down with Dan Lanning and Tosh LePoy
yeah,
and say, what was your guys' plan against Ohio State?
Yeah, it's weird. Like
both offensively and defensively, but specifically defensively. Did you guys not know that Jeremiah Smith has reached a new level? Did you not know that they might leak a running back or a tight end
again,
out of the flat? Because you played him.
And it's not like a shot thing. It's just
truly.
Because off the record, I don't care if I could ever say that publicly. You just, again, it's one of those you would like an answer to a question that your brain can't solve.
As someone who likes football, there were things that Ohio State did in that game that you kind of knew were coming.
Yeah.
And you seem to have no answer until you were five scores
and
down.
That was Kansas
and that's
City.
The same thing as Kansas City. And that's what I'm saying is I have a lot of respect for Andy Reid. I have a lot of respect for Dan Lanning and Tosh LePoy.
But when one team runs, like, hey, we're going to run this coverage basically 70% of the time.
And you know it's happening.
And you know it's happening. And then you have no concepts to beat that coverage that you know they're going to
Nor
run.
Nor do you make an adjustment.
It's fascinating.
It's weird.
Because, again, it's one thing if you believe the other side is just full of boobs and morons, but when they're really smart people that you've seen do it time and time again, it's hard for my brain to
compute. And that's what I mean.
Yeah.
If you're a fool, I don't care what your answer is.
Yeah, because the answer is
I don't care with Gary Anderson, like, how come you didn't run Oregon State a certain way? I know why, because he didn't know what he was doing. And it's a respect thing to say, I wish I could talk to you off the record and ask, like, what were you guys prepared for? Because it means I know you have an answer, you're smart enough. Yeah. And that's why I say Dan Lanning and Tosh LePoy. I respect both those guys. Todd Monken, respect
him. Because it can come across as very insulting if you say, please explain.
Explain, but I actually mean it. As a football guy, I want to know what you were dialing up, because it just seemed like paralysis by analysis, kind of.
And Travis Kelce said that he needs to take some time to make sure his teammates, you know, or that he's given it all. I think Kansas City needs to sit down with Travis Kelce. And we come back, we'll talk about it, because we go into the offseason. There are every year.
Always these players, right?
Always these players. And there's always tough decisions to be made. So I want to talk about how you go about making these decisions. Because you look in the NFL, you don't have to be bad for very long. Like, you can make quick turnarounds in the NFL with smart decisions, and it also doesn't take very long to go from being good to being with the wrong decisions. And I think Kansas City is facing one of those with this player. So we'll talk about how you go about making those decisions and some of the bigger ones coming up in this NFL offseason. We come back primetime here on The Fan. Welcome in. Just talking a little Super Bowl, kind of wrapping it up. Getting into some of the little details. The devil's in the details when you go back and watch these sorts of games. Also, the Vancouver 4 text line blowing up with the Travis Kelce hate. This is the other problem with your Travis Kelce. Like, you're outside of Patrick Mahomes, you're probably the most recognizable face in the NFL.
You're so visible.
You're so visible, and you dress like a 70s porn star going into the game. You have the most famous girlfriend in the world, and then you come out and you S the bed at the worst possible moment.
From an effort
standpoint, people are going to be piling on like you wouldn't believe.
Has anyone ever worn a more obvious, I am going out in an outfit that fits this city because we're winning the Super Bowl in outfit ever?
Yeah.
Did you see his outfit?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, he dressed like a 70s porn star.
He was dressed.
It's kind of like a blouse.
To go out in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's like iridescent.
To celebrate a Super Bowl with Taylor Swift. That's what his outfit said. It didn't say, I mean, guys wear all sorts of whatever.
Yeah.
His outfit was a, I'm still up partying at 3 a.m. in New
Orleans.
And
a lot of dudes just look like, I'm all business. It's like suit fitted.
Or even goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, very rarely do you like, I'm dressed for the club in New Orleans at 3 a.m.
And Mahomes wore an Eagles green. I mean, he wore a green suit. And you can take it for what it, maybe that was a subtle shot at Philadelphia. Maybe it wasn't. He didn't wear it for the post game, but it's kind of a bold move to show up in like a custom pimped out suit in the color of the team that you're playing.
Whatever.
He wore
their colors laying on his back all day. Might as well wear it in pregame.
I just wonder how much, and I know Philly came out after the game and said that stuff, obviously it pissed him off, but you know, like if you need motivation to play in the Super Bowl.
Guys, I'm not that excited about the Super Bowl, but
the disrespect.
Did you see the color of Mahomes' suit? Oh my God, let's get him, you guys. Jalen Carter was like, I don't really care about the Super Bowl too much. He wore what color suit?
But we talked a little bit, like with, I was worried because with Kellen Moore taking the job in New Orleans, and there was talk that he was assembling his staff in the week up to the Super Bowl. That concerns me because I'm a big believer that when you get in these sorts of games and see the Chiefs here, most of these games are won in the margins. They're won a play here, a play there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when Brady gave a great interview, the only good thing he did all week was he gave an interview, he was going around, I think it was with Colin, where he talked about the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, and his preparation was the key to his success.
Yeah, and Jonathan Gannon was public enemy number one a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because he left for the Cardinals job, and people were like, well, your game plan S'd the bet.
It's a big deal. Yeah, I mean, going back to Mike Holmgren taking the Seattle job while Green Bay was trying to repeat. And so I look at that, and to me, it's not about wearing a suit or, you know, anything like that, but I do wonder, if you're Kansas City, did you get high on your own supply? When you're talking about marginal things, and you had a team in Philadelphia who talked about how the taste in their mouth from 2 years ago, that Jalen Hurts, that was his screensaver, was leaving the field after that game, and the disrespect and Sirianni, and you just, no one really, even though Philadelphia was the better team all year, there was the sense of, well, that's the Kansas City Chiefs. And you wonder, you wonder if some of that, and you'll never have an answer to it, you wonder if some of that bled into the psyche of Kansas City. And then when they got bullied in the middle of that game, like I think it was yesterday was the anniversary of the 30-year anniversary of Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you watch that fight, Buster Douglas whooped his ass. Yeah. That was not like a freaky knockout. Buster Douglas was whooping his ass. And that's when you go back and you see the documentary on that and you hear about it. Tyson realized early on, oh crap, he's not afraid of me. Like
this dude punches hard.
This dude punches
and getting
hard.
Punched sucks.
And I wonder if Kansas City just assumed that we're going to do Kansas City things because we're the Chiefs and we figure this out. And by the time they got done getting punched in the mouth, it was too late and the panic had set in. It just, I really do wonder about that.
What I honestly think.
Because it shouldn't have gone like
what
that.
What I honestly think is they thought that they were going to get in a shootout, that it was going to be Jalen Hurts versus Patrick Mahomes, that Mahomes could kind of pick him apart underneath and he'd complete 80% of his passes and average like 6 yards of completion because he was going to throw a whole bunch of underneath stuff. They were going to, with Spags, they were going to limit Saquon, and it was going to be Jalen Hurts, who struggles when he's pressured, against Mahomes.
Yeah.
And they were happy with that.
Yeah.
And you take that all
play
day.
That game.
And they thought Tooney would mostly hold up, and he didn't, and they didn't have a counterpunch.
No.
And then they got behind, what, 2 scores, 3 scores early, and then they had to drop back and throw.
And then the mash panic.
And it just turned into panic mode. But I think that has to be what they thought. Defensively, they were not outclassed.
No.
Spags did a great job on Barkley. They've always struggled with Devontae Smith over the top. He's averaged like 110 yards against him in his career. Yep. He obviously had a big game. Kudos to those who bet the parlay on that. Tip of the cap.
I mean, they threw a couple goal balls, and they hit him, and that's Jalen. Jalen Hurts is the best part of his game.
But that's what they had. I mean, they didn't dominate that way. I think they thought they were going to get a shootout and Mahomes' magic would be enough.
And it wasn't.
And not only was it not, but they had no counter. Yeah. And that's where I think you say get high on their own supply a
Shocking.
Little bit. I think they were like, okay, somebody in the room. It's like, you know, the Barkley trade, and then that one intern, the guy looks like an intern. He's like, what if the Eagles get him, though? What if somebody does pay him? And they're like, that would suck.
Yeah.
We don't think that's going to happen, but that would suck. Yeah. Somebody in that room needed to go, okay, but what if their pressure really is too much for our Scotch tape O-line?
Yeah.
And they needed to have a backup plan, and they just didn't.
Everyone's got a plan until they get punched, and that may be the first time in years that Kansas City has really been punched, where they were like, oh my God, we don't have an answer for it. So what do they do going ahead? When we come back, I do want to get into what do they do with Travis Kelce, because there are 6 or 7 of these moves that happen every NFL offseason where you have to make big decisions, and I do think that Travis Kelce is probably the one facing Kansas City the most. And if they want to get back, Travis Kelce probably needs to not have it be his decision about whether or not he wants to come back. That on the other side of things, primetime here on The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.